The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back to the final hour with some incredibly sad news to share with the audience. A friend of ours, not only a friend, but an institution, has passed away. Cecil Hurt, who forever has been the sports editor of the Tuscaloosa News and their lead sports columnist, and an absolute institution, and arguably one of the most influential people to ever write sports or talk in that state or in the SEC, has passed away. He died earlier at UAB Hospital. He was 62 years old. He fell ill several weeks ago and just never recovered. One of his closest friends and someone who visited him recently is joining us now, Aaron Suttles, who worked so many years with Cecil at the Tuscaloosa News and now with The Athletic. And Aaron, I apologize to asking you to join us within moments of learning this news, but I can't think of anyone more appropriate to talk about Cecil than you. And good afternoon.
Well, thank you for doing so, Paul, and thank you for recognizing Cecil. It means a lot to all of us who loved him.
Aaron, the reality is, and you know it better than anyone, that he has been struggling for a long time. It was kept from the public, but not from those who knew him best. And recently, it became likely, if not inevitable, that we would be having this conversation. But I just want to talk to you about what he meant to so many people, those of us who considered him among our close friends and those who probably never met him but knew him through his column and through mediums like this and so many others.
You know, if you were fortunate to share some time with Cecil, you came away enriched from knowledge, because I always joked with him. I always told him, man, you were wasting your life writing about sports. You have so much more to give. You're just so smart. You could do anything that you wanted to, but what he wanted to do was write, and he was so good at it. Paul, and he loved to read. He was a voracious reader. You'd often find him in a press box with a book or with an iPad with a book on it. And the moments that I treasure with him is the moments I got to spend with him privately, and how it wasn't about sports. We would talk our favorite albums. He would tell me what it was like when the Rolling Stones came to Coleman Coliseum. I'd ask him about his favorite record. And then just life. I mean, this is a man that traveled the world, that took a year off from his career and literally traveled around the world because he could. He was just so much more than a sports writer, but that's how we all got to know him. It's through his, he was an English major. He was so good with the written word. That's why we all got to know him. But he was so much more than that.
Aaron, I think the first time I met him, he was carrying a copy of A Catcher in the Rye. and he was reading it during halftime of a basketball game. But he was so unique. But I think those are quirky things that friends laugh at. But what no one could laugh at was his brilliance as a writer, as a reporter, as an opinionist, but also someone who I think was the most influential voice of the last 30 years in relation to the University of Alabama, because it wasn't that he had the largest audience, but those who mattered the most paid attention to what he had to say.
Without question, Paul, very astute. And I always tell people when I was like, what's it like working with Cecil? I'll never forget, it was 2006. And I believe it was after the Tennessee game that year in 2006 with Mike Shula, or it might have been after the Auburn game. Cecil was very measured. He wasn't, even though the internet was coming about and everyone was sort of competing for these clicks with what we call now hot takes, Cecil was always very measured. And he had some line that he turned within one of his columns after the game, and I knew it's over for Mike Shula. And everyone that read that column knew that it was over for Mike Shula. And very shortly thereafter, it was over for Mike Shula. He was he very much understood how much power there were in words. And no matter how, if that word came from Voltaire or if that word came from the Andy Griffith Show, he very much understood how to connect those words and to make it make sense. He was a man with incredible wit. It's funny, you always, you told the story about him finding him in a press box reading the book. Chris Stewart, who does Alabama basketball play-by-play, also does baseball, told me the story once that when Cecil would cover Alabama baseball games, he would sit in the radio section of the press box, and he'd have a book in his hand. And there was one play where, they got a guy in a rundown, and Cecil never looked up from his book, but gave the correct rundown, that it went 2-3-6-4-2-3-7, and nailed it. And Chris Stewart just couldn't believe he never looked up from the passage he was reading and knew it. He was just a man of, he just incredible intellect, but use that intellect to connect to the common man over something that people in this state care an awful lot about, and that's Alabama athletics.
We're talking to Aaron Settles, who was one of Cecil's closest friends. And Aaron, I can't help but think back to so many times when things were difficult at Alabama. And I know that sounds almost impossible to understand. You alluded to Shula. But we would have Cecil on this program, as you remember, twice a week. Last time we talked to him, not that long ago, I said, he's the longest running guest on this program because he was there the first day. And you had to listen to his words like Wall Street would listen to what the Fed chairman had to say about interest rates, because you never knew when he was going to say that word, like you said in that column, that tipped the balance, because he was so careful and cautious, but because he had to be. And I think you can probably explain that better than most, how suffocating it can be to cover that football program in that city.
Hey, absolutely. You have a line to walk. But what was so good, and I'm sure you learned this very quickly, Paul, is that if there was something to say, Cecil would say it. It may not come out and spell it out, but he may lead the horse to water where you can figure it out on your own. And that was part of his brilliance. He was very measured. Again, I mean, very measured. He wasn't coming out and just blasting people. And you talk about how suffocating it can be. There's a lot of pressure when the most well-known man in the state is the Alabama football coach, and someone that you have to cover. You have to keep that relationship, but you're not bound by it. You also have a responsibility to the fan base and to your ethics and integrity to tell the truth. In certain times, that's a delicate balance to be had. And Cecil walked that better than any person I've ever known, to keep those relationships good while also serving his audience. It's something I've never come close to figuring out. And I suspect if I even would have had my friend for the next 30 years, I never would have. But, man, I really wish he'd be around for the next 30 years, because I would try.
We're talking to Aaron Settles, and I deeply apologize because I apologize to you, but I also feel compelled to have asked you to be on within moments of hearing this news. And obviously we both expected it, but that doesn't make it any easier, Aaron. It doesn't make it any more palatable, because I just don't think there'll ever be anyone like him again, because the industry has changed so much and the way we consume sports has changed so much. But I'm curious, working with him so closely, what you saw of that, because I never looked at Cecil as someone who measured what he said in terms of the influence. He measured it in terms of doing the right thing, but he had to know how influential he was, but I never noticed that from him in just conversations. Tell us more about that part of the job.
Yeah, real accurate. He knew that he was Cecil Hurt and what all that entailed in this state, and that He had become a rock star through the written word, but he never played upon it. He never big time anyone. In fact, you know, up until the very end, he's helping out young sports writers, and he helped me out in more ways than one. You know, when I'm in uncomfortable positions, sometimes when I have to write something that's unpopular at the university, there hasn't been one time when Cecil Hurt did not have my back, no matter how uncomfortable or, you know, what kind of pickle that put him in that delicate balance. I can tell you this, Paul, when he would walk into a press box or, you know, the beat standing around waiting or sitting around waiting for a press conference to begin, spines would sit up straight when he walked into the room. And it was one of those things where you just hope he would say something to you. And at the same time, you hoped he didn't because you knew that you were on, because he was always on, because he was so witty. And you just hope that he'd give you a one-liner that would crack the entire press box up. And sometimes in a game, he'd lean over in the middle of a game and say something really funny that maybe he didn't want to put out on Twitter, or before Twitter, he would do it. He had a sense of who he was, and walking around stadiums, watching people interact with him and sort of elbowing each other. They go, Cecil, that wasn't lost upon him, but he never paid it too much of a mind. He was very much just in his mind, just a writer. And even though he had a big following, he never big-timed anyone.
Finally, Aaron, his relationships with the rich and famous. I mean, everyone knew him. Everyone respected him. Everyone, I think, loved him for who he was. But, you know, it didn't matter whether you fill in the blank, the coach, up until including Nick Saban, because Saban, who doesn't spend a lot of time with anybody in the media, always had time for Cecil Hurt.
Yeah, and I'll embarrass you a little bit here, Paul, that, you know, Saban, when he got to Alabama, wanted to make two people in the media that he knew he needed to know, and I'm not saying make friends with or make, not that it's a quid pro quo by any means, but he just knew the influential media. That was Cecil Hurt and you, Paul. And that's just the weight that Cecil garnered. You mentioned didn't always have the largest audience. Tuscaloosa News is a regional newspaper, and it's not what the Birmingham News was or the Mobile Press Register was. It was a small region. And I say that because Cecil had opportunities. He could have gone anywhere else. His star, he could have written his ticket anywhere he wanted to go. He was that talented. But he wanted to stay. And he very much enjoyed being the columnist of that newspaper and the sports editor of that newspaper. And that meant a lot to him. And so, you know, he knew how talented he was. And because of that, he garnered some very important relationships from very important people. And he was able to walk that line as well, you know, without really angering anyone while also being informative. And, you know, Nick Saban has the same radio guest every year for the first game of the season, Paul. And it's been there since he started, and that's Cecil Hurt. And I think that says a lot about the respect that Coach Saban has for Cecil Hurt.
And I remember one time as we close here, Aaron, and again, thank you for will forever be in your debt for coming on to talk about Cecil so quickly. Was he had an opportunity, and I don't remember if you were at the news or not, to make a lot of money to go into one of these startups. And I remember we had several conversations about I think we did meet for lunch. I was still in Birmingham. And I argued against it. I wondered about that advice one time, because he would have been very wealthy for a sports writer. But I felt like I said, Cecil, when you end up doing that, are the people in Rose administration and over at the athletic department going to really care as much about what you say? And I hope that it affected him, because you understand that part of the business. You've been in different mediums, but ultimately he stayed, and I really have so admired him for doing that, because I can say it. He's been the reason that people have read that newspaper for as long as I can remember. Now, I don't mean to be disrespectful to anyone else there, but he was the reason you picked it up or went to it online.
You're absolutely not being disrespectful. I think Cecil Hurt was the Tuscaloosa News, and it's why people like me, a peon, got to ride his coattails, where people gave a flip about what I think about Alabama football. And, you know, Cecil built that. And so it's not lost on me that my tiny career, the one that I have, is very heavily built on the work that Cecil Hurt did. And he was very loyal. He was very loyal. And again, I just, you can tell a lot about a man, but the way he comports himself with people that that he has nothing to gain from. And Cecil always treated people well. And no matter if it was me and I was a student or a first or second year writer, or if it was you, Paul, he treated us all well and all the same. And it made a really big impression on a lot of people and a lot of sports writers and a lot of just people who care about Alabama athletics in the state.
Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. We're in your debt. All the very best, and we'll see you soon. Aaron Suttles joining us from The Athletic again to recap the news at the top of the hour that Cecil Hurt has passed away. He was 62 years old.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back here for the final 35 minutes or so. Let's get back to the calls. And Augie is in New Orleans. Hello, Augie.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to pass along my condolences to his family and to you, because I know he was a good friend of yours. And I think not just Alabama, but the SEC and college football lost an institution. So just wanted to pass along my thoughts and prayers. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you, Augie. I really appreciate that very, very much. Joseph is up next in Tupelo. Go right ahead, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. And I just saw this, and it's very sad news. I've read a lot of his columns, and, you know, of course, I'm a rebel, but he was a great writer. And one of my really good friends, Max, here in Tupelo, he talked to me about him all the time. He's a huge Alabama fan, and he'd always talk about, I'm reading, you know, Mr. Cecil's stuff, I mean, all the time. And I just saw this, and it just floors me. And I feel so bad for everybody that read his work. And it's hard to find a journalist. And I would also call him an imaginist, because you could see, you know, what he wrote. And that's something that is hard to come by. And it's sad.
Well, Joseph, every time, you know, we have a conversation about something like this, it seems like we're talking about something that no longer exists, but it does. And it, you know, what he did at one time drove the conversation completely in that community and in that state. The media has changed, obviously, but he still was a tremendously important and influential voice. And he was someone that we treasured here and loved, and you know that. And
now, of course,
there was never a moment. I mean, to me, that was we had to get his opinion on whatever happened because he was so knowledgeable.
You couldn't go from Tupelo to Red Bay, and in between there, and then fold in, you know, to Birmingham without knowing who Mr. Cecil Hurt was. And knowing what he said and what he meant. And to everybody that paid attention and picked up the paper every morning and read something about, you know, and it's just that's one thing that we're going to miss. And a lot of people should realize that, you know, that's just something, it's just a hard thing, and I hate it, but there's not hardly any like him anymore. You know,
no, you're right, that's a cliche that I've always avoided because it. Thank you so much because it's almost prosaic to say that someone passes away that there'll never be another one like him. However, in this case, it's true. I always feel like I'm a journalism professor when I say things like this, but. You know, when he began his career, and really until fairly recently, there were what he did and what he continued to do was so important. There weren't programs that you could watch and get information like that. There weren't websites. There weren't newsletters. There weren't Twitter handles. There was a newspaper columnist, and every town had one, and they carried such weight and had such respect. And you know, sadly, a lot of that has gone away. But one thing about Cecil, it never left him. He still, a lot of people knew him more recently from Twitter or from his appearances elsewhere, but he still carried. The same gravitas. We'll take a short break. Back with 30 more minutes.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we continue here late on Tuesday afternoon. Let's talk to Jeff in Florida. Hello, Jeff.
Hey, Paul. How's it going?
Thank you.
Wow, what a time to come on. I thought I was going to be talking about McElroy and folks calling him an idiot, and then you hear this, the news of Cecil. Oh, what a heartbreak.
Yeah, it really is, and you just try to put – You try to find the right words, Jeff. I appreciate your call, I'm still struggling. I'm so appreciative of Aaron coming on, and we're going to talk to another one of Cecil's close friends. Tommy Dees worked with Cecil, I don't even know how many years, at the Tuscaloosa News. But let me welcome Tommy Dees to our program, who's the Alabama sports editor of the USA Today Sports Network. Tommy, thank you for joining us, and I've always frowned when I heard cliche questions like I'm about to ask you, but help us better understand who Cecil was and what he meant to so many people.
Thank you, Paul. When you get off the air and look at your phone, you'll see that I texted you to make sure you heard the news. as soon as I did, and I wanted your remembrance for Cecil's readers and our readers. You know, I know I've known Cecil and worked alongside Cecil for more than 40 years, as starting when I was coming out of high school and in college, and he was starting his career at the Tuscaloosa News. And, you know, I think he was a mentor and a friend to me, you know, from the very beginning. And then, you know, later on, I ended up being his boss, and it didn't change anything. We were colleagues and we were coworkers, and there's so much about Cecil that's hard to understand if you didn't know him, but you did. And, you know, Cecil's the guy who brought a book to the football game every time I was ever in a, you know, press box with him, and it would usually be great literature. It might be Wuthering Heights or something like that. And then sometimes you would see a reference to that in his column the next day, that he would manage to weave something of that into his outlook and perspective of the game in a way that I don't think anyone, he's the most literate person I've ever known. He also loved professional wrestling. And we probably talked about Andre the Giant more than we talked about college football on long road trips, and many long road trips. I've been collecting my thoughts and trying to put them together. And with him being in the hospital for several weeks now, there's been so many times that something would come up, I would see something, I would think of something, I would read something. And it would be something I would want to share with Cecil, and I don't have the chance to do that anymore. And we would talk, you know, several times a week, two or three times a week, sometimes for an hour, and often 5 or 10 minutes of that would be about work. What are you writing tomorrow? And the rest of it would be about things that we thought were funny or observations of what was going on in the sports world or in the real world or just, you know, I can't tell you how many meals we shared together. He had a knack for finding restaurants that nobody else could find that would just blow you away, you know, hole-in-the-wall places, you know, barbecue joints in the middle of nowhere on all those long road trips. I probably spent more time with Cecil than almost anybody in my adult life, and I cherish all of that. And I don't know what to say is that I'm still trying to process, even though it became more apparent that this might be coming, that he's gone. And I can, one other thing, just walking around with him, maybe from the parking lot of a football stadium to go to the game, you know, to go to get in the stadium to go work, or to be in a city where Alabama was at a bowl that we were covering together, walk through a hotel lobby. And people who didn't know him and knew him only from reading him and only from seeing his mugshot, you know, in the paper or online, would come up and want to introduce themselves. And it was like they knew him. You know, he was an institution, a voice in Tuscaloosa. And I'll share one more thing, if you'll indulge me, is that, you know, the Tuscaloosa News won a Pulitzer Prize for its coverage of the tornado in 2011, which I think you had me on to remember about
right.
On time of my anniversary. Cecil, of course, there were no sports for a while in Tuscaloosa when that happened. Cecil instantly switched from sports columnist to community columnist, to the voice of the city. And just went out into the rubble and then out into neighborhoods and out into places and found stories of, you know, people going through the what was left of their house looking for things and, you know, that they could save from that, and captured so much of what this community went through. He really was the voice of Tuscaloosa in ways that can't be described, not just the Tuscaloosa News, but of the city of Tuscaloosa.
Tommy, I would argue that at least in modern time, one person in the media has ever been more influential or more consequential with what he said and wrote than Cecil, because I don't know about 50 years ago, but I do know about the last 40 like you do. And you know more than I do, because you worked with him and he worked with you. But, I mean, his words carried a tremendous amount of weight.
Absolutely, and they carried weight. I mean, even when he tweeted, and he might be the all-time champion of Twitter, 100,000 followers, and it should have been 100 million, because he's the funniest guy ever. And if you knew him, you saw that. But when Twitter came along, and I knew him a long time before Twitter came along, you heard those kind of things when he was whipping the press box and everything. But when he would write serious topics, people listened, even people who had probably, diametrically opposed to what he was expressing, listened. And when he rarely, but part of his job, would say, this is the end of the rope for this coach at Alabama, then you knew it was the end of the rope for that coach at Alabama. He was also, in a way that it's hard to describe, very cryptic in what he wrote. He would write things almost like people would decipher. Is Cecil trying to tell us something here? Is he trying to tell us that this coach is in trouble? Is he trying, I heard people this year say, is he trying to tell us this Alabama football team's not really as good as they've been and we need to not get our hopes up? Or is he trying to tell us that this team could be really special? And we do need to get our hopes up and those kind of things. I'm talking football, basketball, whatever. He probably enjoyed being in baseball games, probably maybe as much as any other sport, but that didn't get the profile that football does, of course. But no, you're right. His words carried weight. He comes from an era where he was at the end of an era that he carried on and took to a level I've never seen, at least in our part of the country, of being the voice of a newspaper, of a news organization, the way that Jimmy Smothers was in Gadsden and the way John Pruitt was in Huntsville, the way that, Al Van Hoos maybe was in Birmingham, where you associated them with, when you thought of Gadsden Times Sports, you thought of Jimmy Smothers. But when you thought of Cecil Hurt, you thought of the Tuscaloosa News, and when you thought of the Tuscaloosa News, you thought of Cecil Hurt. They were synonymous almost, and I just don't know of anyone who had that voice and that commanding ability with his words and with his personality to capture and I don't know what the word is to really grab people and make them understand and make them care when he had something.
Tommy Dees, many, many thanks, Tommy. I really appreciate you being on. Be well, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, Paul.
Tommy Dees, once Cecil Hurt's boss at the Tuscaloosa News, and if you are just joining us, we shared with you the news at the top of the hour that Cecil passed away earlier today. Not to get too deep into the weeds, his situation first became known the critical nature of it a couple of weeks ago, and he was at DCH in Tuscaloosa, and they moved him, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, to UAB Hospital. Unfortunately, he never completely recovered. It was not COVID related, I know many have asked, but it was extremely serious. He had another number of complications that kept building up, and it just finally came to an end today. Many, many thanks to all of you who have joined us. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.